Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, and then Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And both of those places are where we're going to be looking this morning. And the Genesis passage gives us the background for what we'll be looking at here in the Hebrews passage. So if you have a finger in both those places, it will be a help to you if you'll do that. As we preview chapter 11 in Hebrews, last week I began and we talked about creation as it talks about that in the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. But as we preview the rest of the chapter is about faith. It's about the heroes of faith. And each one of them had a unique thing that God gave them that was a request from God. And they had to trust God by faith to meet that need. For example, this morning we're going to be looking at Abel. And Abel, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice to God. And then we'll be looking at Enoch. And Enoch, by faith, pleased God. And by faith, Noah built an ark. And by faith, Abraham traveled to an unknown land. And by faith, Sarah conceived seed. And by faith, Abraham sacrificed his son. And by faith, Isaac blessed his sons. And as you go through the whole chapter, one after another, God is showing us examples of faith and how we can draw closer to God and have greater faith in God. And all of these examples, the writer of Hebrews are giving these to us to help us to understand that we need to have faith in God. Faith is one of those things that we struggle with. We need to have faith in God when we have trials, that God will see us through. We need to have faith in God, that God will keep His promises as He said He would. We need to have faith in God, even at the very foundation, to be saved from our sins. That's where it all begins. Without faith in Christ for salvation, we have no eternal hope. And so we need faith. Let us read, beginning with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. And it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Then back in Genesis chapter 4, let me read the first five verses back there. Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, that's the foundation of what we're going to be looking at here this morning. If you read the rest of the story, Cain was so angry with his brother that he killed him. The first brothers killed death in the first family. What a tragedy. Way back there in the very beginning. And as we see this morning, we find that Abel had faith in God. And by faith, Abel offered to God a blood sacrifice that made him righteous and enabled him to live forever and to testify of God's grace. Now, as we look at this morning, I want us to notice three facts about Abel's faith that ought to challenge us to receive God's provision of salvation through Christ and become righteous and live forever. That's what this passage is about. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. First of all, notice that by faith, Abel obeyed God. By faith, Abel obeyed God. And by faith, he did what God had commanded him to do. Now, after Adam and Eve sinned, God removed them from the Garden of Eden. And Eve bore Cain. And then she bore Abel and many of the children that are not named. They had lots of children. They lived for around 900 years. So they had lots and lots of children. All right? And during that time, all those children, you know, sometimes people say, well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, he married a sister. He said, oh, that's gross. That's terrible. Why would he do that? Well, in the first generation, when there was no problems in our genetics, it was perfectly fine. It was not until later that these things, when God said years and years and years and years later, that God said, no, you're not to marry your own family. And so it was fine there in the beginning until sin had corrupted things. And so Adam and Eve had these children. Now, we don't know how long, how much difference there was in age between Cain and Abel. God doesn't tell us any of those little fine details. We don't know how many other children they had at this time. And there's no way of knowing how many years was in that little phrase that says, in the process of time. In the process of time, Cain offered. Well, it could have been a month, it could have been a year, it could have been 10 years. We don't know how much time was involved in the process of time that was dealt with here. But they offered their offerings. Now we ask ourselves, what if this is the first offerings that they offered to God? Or had they been offering offerings right along? And maybe this was maybe Cain had been offering the kind of offerings God had asked him to offer, but then now he just decides, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. God didn't tell us any of those details. We don't know. All we know is that they were offered their offerings, and God gives us that information. Now, the Bible does not say that God specifically gave instructions regarding the blood sacrifices. That is something we're not sure about. We don't know. Did God specifically say, Adam and Eve, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to offer a lamb on the altar once a week or once a month or once a year, whatever the case may be, and this is how I want it done. God doesn't tell us any of those details. We do not know. Some people suspect that God hadn't given them any instructions specifically, and that Cain just offered his fruit because that's what he was growing, and Abel offered his sheep because that's what he was growing. That is a possibility. But there's something unique about the situation, because God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. So why? And that's what we need to dig into. As we look at the Hebrew word back in Genesis, the word for offering, it actually refers to a gift, a tribute, an offering, a present, an oblation, a sacrifice, or a meal offering, or meat offering. When you read the word meat offering in the King James Bible, it refers to grain. It isn't talking about beef, or lamb. It's talking about a grain. So it referred to meal. The meat would be meal. And so that's what it referred to. And you look through the Bible, and the hundreds of times that it's in the Bible, most of the time that word is translated meal offering or meat offering. Most of the time. So does that mean that he did not, you know, was not supposed to offer a blood sacrifice? Well, I don't think so. Because as you read on, we find here in Genesis 4:4, it says that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And it seems to imply that God required that. It implies here that God wanted that. That's what God expected of them. It certainly seems that way, even though it doesn't specifically spell it out. Then back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, when we read that verse again, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That word sacrifice usually refers to a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. And so, again, it implies that that's what God was expecting from them. Back in the end of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 39, we read, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Abel was included in that, these all, that is referred to there, and is talking about he was looking for God's promise. He was looking for God's Messiah. He was looking for God's salvation. And he was anticipating that. And so, again, he's included in all these. That's what he was after. That's what his goal was. So I really believe in my heart that after thoroughly studying over this, that God did in some way let them know he wanted a blood sacrifice. And so I'm going to assume that through the rest of the sermon. Right? And there's a possibility, I've already presented that may not be the case. But for some reason, God accepted and blessed Abel's blood sacrifice and rejected the veggies. All right? And so I believe that God must have made that clear to them. So with that in mind, we press on. Now, by faith, Abel offered unto God, and yet it was by faith because he could not see the fact that this blood sacrifice was somehow going to take care of his sin. I mean, that's by faith. How do you know? How would he know when he kills that animal, lays it out on the altar, and that somehow that act of cutting that lamb's throat and pouring out the blood and burning the lamb on the altar, how would he know that that would deal with his sin? Only because of what God said. And it's by faith. He had to believe it by faith. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it happen when he laid it down there. He couldn't see all of a sudden righteousness sprang out of that. He couldn't see that. It was by faith. And salvation today is by faith, the same way as it was for him. And we'll see that as we work through. Now, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We see this here back in our text, verse number 4. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It was better than Cain's. It was, or something was more excellent about it. It was superior to him. And, you know, there's no reason for us to question that Abel brought of the best of the fruits of his garden. He probably did. He probably looked at his garden and said, this is the best pumpkin I've got, and this is the best ears of corn I've got. These are the best, tomatoes I've got, and I'm going to take those very best ones, and I'm going to put them on the altar, and I'm going to give them to God. Now, I don't think that he was trying to be, just say, I'm going to give God my rubbish. I think he was probably giving God his best. You know, there's a lot of religious people today that sincerely, honestly believe they're trying to do their best for God. But they're doing it their way instead of God's way. And that's not good. And here, Cain, he brings his veggie offering to God, and that's not what God had required. Now, God tells us that Abel's offering was more excellent, and we ask ourselves, what made it better? What made Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's veggies? Cain's best veggies from his garden and Abel's lamb over here, what made the difference? Why was one better than the other? And as we look at this, Abel's offering met God's requirements and Cain's did not. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission without the shedding of blood. God said there has to be shedding of blood. There's no blood shed with the veggie offering. But the blood was shed with the lamb offering. And God says, I expect blood to be shed because you have sinned. You know, that shows us one thing very important. It shows us the significance and the seriousness of sin. You know, we tend to play down the seriousness of sin. Well, yeah, I told a lie. You know, well, everybody does, you know. Oh, I cheated. You know, what do you expect? Everybody in this world cheats, and it's no big deal. Or I was a bit mean. Yeah, all right, I should have been more kind, but it wasn't any big deal. And we play down the seriousness of sin. Whereas God said, sin is very serious. Sin is so serious that I require a blood sacrifice to deal with the sin problem. You cannot be cleansed without the shedding of blood. The veggies aren't going to do it. And so that was the first thing, I believe, that made Abel's offering better. God's holiness requires the blood of a spotless lamb to atone for sin. Now, the second thing that I believe here was significant was that Abel offered his by faith, and Cain did not. Faith was, if God had said, God had told them, I expect you to bring a blood sacrifice. And Abel could have said, well, I don't get it. I don't really understand why killing this lamb is going to take care of my sin, but I, by faith, believe God. God said it, I'm going to do it. Abel, on the other hand, he may have known the same thing and said, I know God said a blood sacrifice, but I'm tired of buying sheep from my brother to be able to offer a sacrifice. And if God doesn't like my veggies, too bad. That seems to be the attitude of Cain. And I mean, it could be that for years, in that time that we don't know how long it was. It could be for years that every year or every month or whenever it was they were bringing their sacrifice, Cain would go over to his brother Abel and said, "All right, I need to buy a sheep. All right, you know, how much is that one?" "Oh, come on, brother, not that much." All right, I'll buy the sheep." And he goes and he offers the sheep. And it could be that he's just saying, "I am tired of that. If I've got these beautiful veggies, that ought to be good enough for God. And if God doesn't like it, too bad." And so, I don't know, that may not have been the situation, but it could have been. So, either way, we know that Cain did not act in faith. In faith, Abel offered to God. He said, "I don't quite understand it, but that's what God said. I'm going to do it by faith." And Cain says, "I don't understand it either. And if God doesn't like it, I'm going to do it my way. Because that's my way makes sense to me." And you know, that is so often the case in people's lives. How many people have we met that said, "I'm trying my best to be good. I'm a good person. And I try good. I've not hurt anybody in life. I've been a decent person. And if God doesn't like that, that's God's problem, not mine." And a lot of people have that attitude. I've talked to loads of people like that, that think, "I have done good. I've not killed anybody. I've not been any, you know, I'm not a wicked person. I try to be kind. I go to church once in a while. I read my Bible sometimes. I pray once in a while. I'm a good person. And because I'm a good person, that ought to be good enough for God. And God ought to let me in because of that." That's a lot of people. A lot of people, a lot of religious people think that. But God had other plans. God said, "No, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And if you won't come by the blood of Christ and have your sin washed in the blood of Christ, there is no remission of sin." But that takes faith. We look at it and say, logically, it makes logical sense that if I try hard, be good, be kind, be all the nice things I'm supposed to be, that God ought to say, "Good on you, that was a good job." We logically think that. And logically you think, why should I trust in the blood of Jesus that shed on the cross 2,000 years ago, like God said? It doesn't make sense. But faith is the makes the difference. He said by faith, Abel did what he didn't understand because God said it. And by rejecting faith, Cain said, "I'll do it my way." Faith made the difference between them. So the difference was one was God's requirement, the other one, and also it was by faith. The other one was not what God required, and it was not by faith. Now, the Genesis record assures us that the brothers clearly knew that God had rejected Cain's and received Abel's. Look at it again. All right, we see there in verse number 4. It says in the end of the verse, it says, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now we ask ourselves, how did they know? That's a good question. How did they know? How did they know that God rejected one and accepted the other one? And, you know, there's no clear answer. God did not tell us clearly. But here's some ideas. One is, there's a possibility that fire came down from heaven and burned up Abel's sacrifice. That did happen several times in the Old Testament. When they would make an offering, and God would send down fire from heaven, and it'd burn up that sacrifice. That is a possibility. Now, you couldn't get much clearer than that. Alright? And if that's what happened, and Abel brings his offering, and he sacrifices his sheep, and God sends down fire, boom, boom, burns it up, and God accepts it, and Cain puts his nice veggies out there and says, "Alright God, bless mine," and nothing happens, it's pretty obvious his got rejected, and that one got blessed. That is a possibility. I'm not saying for positive, but I think that might have been the answer. Alright? There's another possibility. We see down in verse number 6 of Genesis chapter 4, verse number 6, and it says there, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?" Right? Now, without even thinking, we read that verse, but what took place in that verse? God spoke audibly to Cain. God said to Cain, "Why are you upset?" All right, so there was a verbal conversation between God and Cain. How did that happen? I don't know. Did God come down, stand beside him and talk to him? Did God talk to him in a vision? Did God talk to him in a dream? I don't know. But God told him, talked to him. Now, it is possible that God might have spoke from heaven and said, I accept Abel's offering and I reject Cain's offering. That's a possibility. Because he did talk to Cain. I don't know. All I know is the boys knew clearly. This one was blessed of God. That one was rejected. They clearly knew that. There was no question in their minds. And that's what angered Cain. Cain said, it's not fair. I brought the best of my veggies to God, and that's not fair that he would take his sheep over my veggies. My veggies are worth more than his sheep was. I gave him the very best that I had. They were valuable. They were precious. They were the first picks of my garden. They were spotless. They were beautiful vegetables. And his was just a lamb. There's thousands of them on the field. Mine was special. But God didn't take his because it wasn't what God wanted. Now, it's important for us to see that because it gives us an understanding of God's mind. You know, God required the blood sacrifice. And when God required the blood sacrifice, he expected us to do what God said. So it's very important that we understand God's word and God's way. Now, Jesus Christ, being God's perfect lamb, became the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin when he died on the cross as our substitute. Now, that's a very important thing for us to understand. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth, and he died on the cross to pay for my sin and for your sin. He paid for all of it. And he offers us eternal life if we will trust in him by faith. You say, well, I don't understand that. I can't see that. It doesn't make sense to me. That's where faith comes in. We've got to believe God, that God would tell us the truth. That God, last week, Paul started Hebrews chapter 11 with creation. He started Hebrews chapter 11 and he said there that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He said God created everything. And God is in control of everything. And God is the sovereign of everything. And God is the one we must listen to and obey, even if we don't get it, even if we don't understand it, even if we can't explain it. We've got to believe by faith that God will do what he said he will do. We struggle with faith. Faith is one of those things that a lot of people struggle with. And I struggle with faith sometimes. Faith is believing God will do what he said. God's not the one to blame when we lack faith. It's us. God hasn't changed. God is always the same. And so we need to believe God and trust God and obey God. And so God provided the salvation. John chapter 3 and verse number 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's what God said. And by faith we need to believe that. God said, he that believeth in the Son has everlasting life. He that doth not believe in the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now there's one thing that we need to understand. And a lot of people I think are confused with this. What is the difference between believing about Jesus and believing on Jesus? That's a key thing. There's a huge difference between believing about him and believing on him. To believe about Jesus is to believe that there was a man that lived 2,000 years ago, said he was Jesus, said he came down from heaven and lived among us for 33 years. He was a good man, did some miracles, died on a cross. They say he raised from the dead, and now he's gone. They say he went back to heaven. That's believing about him. To believe on him is saying what Jesus Christ did was my total payment for sin. And I am taking all of my guilt and placing it upon him and trusting him to wash me clean and give me eternal life and give me a home in heaven. That is believing on him. That is hugely different than believing about him. Loads of people believe about Christ, but believing on him is what saves us. That's why there are multitudes in church this morning that are religious people that believe about Jesus, but they're going to die in their sins and go to hell because they have never believed on Christ to save their soul. They've never placed their soul in His hands and ask Him to give them eternal life. They've never done that. That is the difference. That is what we need. That is what saves our soul. And so, as we consider this morning, we move on to the second fact, and that is that by faith, Abel became righteous. By faith, Abel became righteous. We see back in our text again in verse number 4 of Hebrews 11. It says, and by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Right? He became righteous because of his sin. Now, before Abel offered his offerings to God, he had the same problem we did. And that is that none of us are righteous. The word righteous means to be right with God. It means to have no sin standing between us and God. And we all have a problem. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 14, verse 3, it says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Did you hear what God said? There's none that doeth good. We can say, but God, I do a lot of good things. But our good things are not that which is going to save our soul. They may be nice things, they may be kind things, but they're not the kind of good things that can save a soul, because we're still sinners. We still are guilty before God. And therefore, our sin stands between us and God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That included Abel. And Abel obeyed God, and God declared him righteous. Abel obeyed what God told him to do. He said, I want a blood sacrifice. Now, you know, one of the things that is unique, in the Old Testament, the men and women in the Old Testament were saved by faith, just like we're saved by faith. But there's a huge difference in that we have much more to base our faith upon than they did. We can read the Bible, and the Bible says Jesus died for my sins and gave me eternal life, and if I'll put my trust in Him, I can have eternal life. We have all that information. What did they have in the Old Testament? What did Abel have? All Abel had was God's promise that if you will sacrifice a blood sacrifice, that I will forgive you, and it'll cover your sins, and you'll be righteous. We have so much more. And yet we still struggle. We still struggle to say, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that He paid the debt for my sin. I believe that He rose again to give me eternal life. And I'm going to put my trust in Him alone. People struggle all the time with that. And yet we have so much more information than Cain and Abel had. And Abel put his faith in God and obeyed God and did what he was told to do. And as a result, God said, I will declare him righteous. We read in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now what does that mean? He says, if you work for something, and if you came to my house and worked for me, and I said, all right, you've worked all day today, I'll pay you, you know, $50 for your work today. That $50 is not grace, that is debt, because you worked. He said, if you worked for it, I owe you pay. And God said, if you can work for your salvation, then He owes us salvation. And God said, it doesn't work that way. You cannot work for your salvation. At all. None. And therefore, it is all by grace. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He paid for all of our sin to give us eternal life. And he said, because he paid it all, we can't work for it. It is not something we do. It is what he did for us. Jesus did it all for us. And we cannot earn it by being good and by trying hard. And so our good deeds, it's far better to be a nice person and a good person than a bad person, but it won't get you to heaven. The only thing that'll get you to heaven is faith in Christ. It's the only thing. Faith in Christ. And so, every human today is either righteous or unrighteous. There's no other option. There isn't any that are kind of in between. We're either made righteous because of the blood of Christ, or we're unrighteous because we've never received Christ. There's just nothing in between. And it's important for us to understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He became sin for me to make me righteous. Jesus Christ was that lamb on that altar. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He gave his life for me to pay for my sin, that I might be set free. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing, that Jesus paid it all. And I don't dare come to God and say, "But God, take a look at my beautiful veggies." God said, "Keep your veggies. I don't want them. I want the blood sacrifice." And it's either Jesus or you don't go in. It's either Jesus or you're lost. There is no other option. And so, no matter what we bring to God, you know, sometimes people bring all their veggies to God, and they got their veggies of baptism and sacraments and their communion and their church attendance and their Bible reading and their good to my neighbors and helping the poor and all these good veggies. God says, "That's fine, but that's not going to save your soul. That's not going to save your soul. You still got to have the blood sacrifice." And so it's key for us to see that. And Cain was religious, but he was not righteous. Oh, he was religious. He brought the sacrifice. He could have said, you just picture in your mind, Cain could have just said, "Listen, all this sacrifice stuff, I am sick and tired of that. You know, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I'm just not going to offer any sacrifices. Forget about it. Abel, you go ahead and offer your little sacrifices and do your little things for God, and that's fine. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to go out in my veggie garden and have a good time and sit in the shade and eat some watermelon. And yeah, you know, I'm just going to enjoy my garden." He could have done that, but that's not what he did. He kind of obeyed God. He did offer the offering. He brought of his very best. The best things he could do, he brought them and he put them on his altar for God and said, "God, I've given you my best watermelon, my best corn, my best beans, my best tomatoes, and my best of all of my veggies. These are the best that I have. Don't you love me for that, God? Isn't that wonderful what I did for you, God?" And he was being religious. But God said, "No, that's not what I want. It's not what I required. It's not what I said." And you know, there are multitudes of religious people today that are coming to God and laying all their stuff out on the altar. And they're saying, "God, I've been baptized. I've been, you know, I've been go through all these rituals. And I go to church and I say my prayers and I be kind. And, you know, Lord, this is my offering to you." God says, "No. No. I won't accept it. I won't accept it." And God required the blood sacrifice. He was religious, but not righteous. Cain was not made righteous because he failed to trust God by faith. By faith, Abel offered the sacrifice. And Cain says, "I will not do that. I don't believe that stuff. I'm not going to. I'll do it my way." And he didn't receive God's blessing because he didn't offer it by faith. Faith is acting upon trusted information. Acting upon trusted information. The information given to the boys evidently was offer a blood sacrifice. Abel, by faith, acted upon that and offered a blood sacrifice. Cain, without faith, said, "I will not do that. I'll do it my way." And he failed to do what was right. Personal faith in God is the difference between religion and biblical Christianity. And we need to see that today. It is so true. Now, think with me. I want you to just put on your thinker and think with me for a moment. If God was to mate with you today, hope that won't happen, but that you would die today, and this afternoon you stood before God. If you died today and this afternoon you stood before God, and God asked you this question, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? Think about it in your mind right now. Get your answer. What would you say? God said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? You know, there are multitudes of people, if they were to ask, if God had asked them that question, they would come up with an answer something like this. They'd say, Lord, you know me. You know my record. And I've lived a good life. I've tried to keep your commandments. I go to church, say my prayers, been baptized. I'm a good person, God. I think you ought to let me in. There are a lot of people that think that way. And if that's the thought that came across in your mind, my friend, you're not righteous. You're just like Cain. You need to be saved. What should have the answer been? If God asked you, why should I let you into heaven? Your answer ought to be something like this. It ought to be, God, there's no reason you should let me into heaven except that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sin, and I trusted him as my Savior, and he washed me clean and gave me new life and made me righteous. There's no other reason you should let me in. That is the truth. That is by faith, trusting the sacrifice. But if you, in your own strength, try to present to God your veggies, you will fail. You will be lost for all eternity. And oh, how sad that is. There are many people out there that are nice people, religious, good people, trying hard, being kind, but they're offering God their veggies. And God says, it won't work. I can't accept those veggies. You must bring the blood sacrifice. And the only blood sacrifice Christ will accept is His sacrifice. You know, we don't have to bring our lambs to church. You know, you didn't all just bring your ute and unload the lamb, bring it in and chop, you know, cut its throat and offer it on the side. We don't have to do that anymore. I'm glad for that. Because Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. He paid it all for me, for you, and for the whole world. And He offers it to us as a gift. And He says, if you will put your faith in me and trust me, I will give you life. If you've never done that, you need to do that. It is not religion. It is not saying, going through the motions. It is not even prayer. You know, sadly, I fear there is a lot of people in Baptist churches today that are holding on to a prayer they said once upon a time. You know, when I was a kid, I was 4 years old, and I prayed this little prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So I'm on my way to heaven. But their life looks like they're living for the devil. But yet they're hanging on that. They were inoculated when they were a kid, and so they're okay. But all they're doing is offering their veggies to God. Prayer is one of the veggies. Prayer is not going to get you into heaven. I don't care what kind of prayer you say, it's not going to get you into heaven. It is from the heart when you humble yourself before God and say, God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I am guilty. I deserve to go to hell. And I believe that Jesus paid it all for me. And that is what I'm depending upon. I'm trusting in. And I want you to save my soul and wash me clean and give me eternal life. That will save your soul, not your veggies. And it's important for us to understand that. That is absolutely crucial. Now, Cain was upset. That brings us to our third point, and that is that by faith, Abel's testimony continues. Abel was saved by faith. It was his faith that saved him from the judgment to come. It was his faith that gave him righteousness and enabled him to be righteous before God. And Cain killed Abel. He said, I hate my brother. It's not fair. God took his offering and he rejected mine. And my brother, I'm going to get even with him. It's his fault. And he killed him. And God says that Cain, or Abel, he says, though he was dead, yet speaketh. Why could he yet speak about these things? It's because Abel was righteous. He is alive with God today. He is one of God's children in heaven, alive today with God. Because he knew Christ, or knew God as his Savior. He didn't know Christ yet in that respect, but he knew God. He put his faith in God. And he was saved. And his life was spared, and he was made righteous. And he yet speaketh. You know, folks, today, if you're offering God your veggies and your good works, you're not saved. You're still lost. If you died today, you'd go to hell. That would be terrible. That's not what God wants. God wants you to humble yourself and come to Him and say, God, I need what Christ did for me. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash me clean and give me a new life and make me new from the inside out. And God will do that for you if you'll receive Him. He's already paid for it. It's been done for 2,000 years or almost 2,000. And He offers it to you as a gift. And He's saying, would you put your trust in me? Now folks, the hardest part about trusting God in faith is realizing that my veggies aren't any good to God. That hurts. That hurts. We think all these good things I've done. I've been kind. I've been good. I've been trying hard. I've got all these beautiful veggies I've been offering to God. And I don't understand. Why aren't my veggies good enough? But when we come to the place where we understand my sinfulness is rotten in the sight of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we recognize that and we humble ourselves and we admit it to God and we say, God, it is true. I am a rotten sinner. And I can't save myself. But I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. He paid it all for me. I believe that. And I'm putting my faith and trust in Him alone to wash me clean and save my soul. When we'll do that, salvation makes us righteous. God saves our soul. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save you. And so this morning, every one of us here this morning are either like Abel or like Cain. And you are the only one that knows for sure. You may have a religious front, and most of you are what we call religious because you come to church. The unreligious people go play sports. They don't want to come to church. But the religious people, they're in church. And so you may be offering God your veggies. But you need to decide, am I a Cain? Or have I truly received Christ as my Savior as Abel did? Which is it? If you cannot look back at a time when you remember repenting of your sin and trusting Christ, and Christ has changed your life, you need Christ today. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Religious won't make you righteous. Faith in Christ will.